All right. We are in December and talk about some things around Jesus' birth. I like this time of year, talking about things surrounding Jesus Christ's birth and some of the people involved and some of the things that have carried on as traditions that, just go back to the Bible and see what gets said about certain folks and certain events. So we're in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to look at the wise men. Wise men. God classifies these men as wise men. And the thought, we're not just looking at the people, but the thought that's carried with our studies this morning, our sermon this morning, is seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's seeking, it's searching, and these men definitely, they took on a big adventure traveling the way they did and things like that. So, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, we'll just read, I'll read you the account. Says Matthew chapter 2 verse 1, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Is that what he intends to do? No, not a chance. Not a chance. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. That's the story of the wise men, and you get the idea that there's three of them comes from three gifts, things like that. Their title, wise men, is something God gave them. It isn't something, it doesn't seem to be like a political standing that they have or anything. It's a title God gives them, and the significance of their lives here is it's what they did and how far they traveled to come see Jesus Christ. And it may be not obvious to us, but and I say it's not obvious to us because we're Gentile, sort of, we're heathen, and we're not Jews. We're not Israelites. And so when Matthew records things like this, one of the significances of this record of these wise men is that foreigners were willing to come see Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ's own people weren't interested in Jesus Christ. And so these foreigners that came from a long way away, and they're searching for Jesus Christ, they're searching for the King of the Jews, and the Jews, the Israelites, they're not even looking for him. And their whole culture was built around Jesus Christ. And so you'll see this over and over in Matthew, and in some of the other records with Luke and things like that. But Matthew's goading, or the Holy Spirit sort of goading the nation of Israel to say, hey, these folks were willing to travel to see the King of the Jews, and he's in your backyard and you won't travel to see him. So Matthew records this stuff, and you'll see him over and over in Matthew. He records these Gentiles coming. In fact, a lot of the miracles that happen early on in Matthew are with Gentile folks, and so it's sort of Paul calls it, he's going to provoke them to jealousy. He just keeps goading them and saying, look, your whole nation is built around the Messiah. Your whole nation is built around Jesus Christ. Your nation is built around the seed, which is Jesus Christ. And you're not willing to go see, and you're even considered. They're not even interested in the birth of Jesus Christ, whereas these foreigners, they travel a long way. So the real significance of this, not only is it an indictment against the nation of Israel, a provocation to jealousy and things like that, it's also, these men are significant because of what they went through in order to just find Jesus Christ. Like they travel a significant distance. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to, as much as we can, enter into the lives of these wise men and these Gentiles, these heathen, they're just people outside of Israel. And so we can get an understanding of what a search for eternal life looks like. What a search for Jesus Christ looks like for a soul, because guaranteed, if you're saved here this morning, you didn't get saved on accident. And you didn't get saved because God just picked you out of a bunch of people and zapped you and said, you're saved, and this person's not, but you are. And you didn't get handpicked like that. You probably struggled over some things. You might have had a background in religion. And so you got to think about that, and you're confronted with truth. And so you got to rehash, you know, some of you had to think, is everything I was taught a lie? I mean, where do I go? And those are significant obstacles to coming to Jesus Christ. Some of these things are troubling. It's troubling to think, whenever we're talking to somebody about their soul, it's troubling for people to think, you know, did my mom and dad not know this? They're dead. Did they not know this? Did they not know about Jesus Christ and heaven and hell? Because I never heard them talk about it. And so that's an obstacle to get over. And so what I'm saying is, the search for Jesus Christ, the search for eternal life, the striving, the agonizing, salvation is not, let me make this clear, salvation is not of works. You can't work for salvation, but you're gonna probably struggle to find Jesus Christ amid a bunch of lies and a bunch of traditions that you might have grown up with. So these men, this is we're entering into their lives here and see what they overcame, see what brought them to this time, and why the Holy Spirit records their lives in this instance here. So I want you to notice a few things about their search. These men come from a long way, and they're looking for the King of the Jews. It's a very specific search. They say, "Where is he?" That's the point of this traveling. That's the whole point of their traveling this distance, to answer the question, where is he that's born King of the Jews? That's the purpose of their journey. Where is he that's born King of the Jews? And so their search for the kingdom of God, so to speak, took on the form of searching for the Lord as a child. That's who they're looking for. It's like, if you're looking for something, the wise men, if you're looking for a baby that's born the King of the Jews, so they go to the palace, they think maybe he's over there. That's why they encounter Herod. They know what they're looking for. They know what it looks like. Put it this way, they know what it looks like. If you've ever lost something, And it happens more and more lately for me. You know what it is you're looking for. You know what it looks like. And you know when you find it. Like if I lost my phone, I know what it looks like. And when I find it, I can recognize I found it. This is mine. Just like with Jesus Christ, they're looking for a child. He has some specific. He's going to be in a certain area. He's going to be around certain people, and so this is our search. This is what we're looking for. And I say that because the search for the seeking of the kingdom of God in your life and in my life is a little more, I don't want to say vague, it's just spiritual. You couldn't go to Jerusalem and find a baby Jesus and say, I found what I'm looking for. In your life, it's going to be, it's a spiritual thing. The body, the baby that was a baby, Jesus Christ, and his body is now in heaven. It's not here on earth. And so the only connection, really anybody in this world has to Jesus Christ is by faith. Because you can't, you have no physical connection. You can't touch him. You can't see him. You can't feel. I mean, you can't smell him. I mean, the connection you have is by faith, that connection anyone has. And so I want to point out the aspects of this search. It's a very specific search, but it takes on a different form. For the wise men, they're looking for a child. They know what they're looking for. And their hearts have stirred them up, I guess, through scriptures, through prophecies and things like that. Their hearts have stirred them up, and so they know what they're looking for. But as a 21st century American, if you're going to seek the kingdom of God, you're not going to be looking for a baby. There's something else you got to be looking for. Yet it's still the same search. You're looking for the same things. You're looking for Jesus Christ. I'll give you an interesting, even Jesus Christ, when he said, I'll just mention this, when he was dealing with the Pharisees, he told them one time, he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. You know life is in the scriptures, and they are they which testify of me. And he's standing right there. So it's even with their lives, they're looking at him as an adult, yet they can't see this is the Messiah. And he says, "You're looking for you want to find me. You want to find life. You're looking for eternal life. Well, search the scriptures, and what you'll find in the scriptures is they testify of me. I'm life. If you're looking for life, it's me. That's what he says. It talks about the search, seeking. It's a specific search. It's a spiritual search. For you and me, it's a spiritual search. I mean, really, you could say it's a spiritual search for them too, but when they physically find Jesus Christ, they know what they're looking for. So what does your search look like? What would it look like for someone who's looking for eternal life? What does it look like? Look over in Romans. I'm going to show you an interesting verse and something that sometimes gets difficult to interpret, because it sounds like somebody's working for their salvation. They're not working for it, but they are searching for something. Romans chapter 2, here's the search. Verse 7. Says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's the reward. That's what the Lord answers with. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek. That's the search. That's the search. Most people aren't willing to put up with the search. They're not that interested in eternal life. They're not that interested in the righteousness of God. And so they're just not going to have any commitment to it, no devotion to it. And so get distracted, you get sidetracked, and or you just have no interest. But to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That describes the search. That's a spiritual search. Patient continuance and well-doing. You're looking for glory. You're looking for immortality. How do you do it? It's not on accident. Going back to what we said. If you got eternal life, it wasn't because it happened on accident. It isn't because it dropped in your lap. It's because you probably went through some significant thoughts and rethinking and I mean, people need time to think about stuff. I'm just even more so nowadays, but I struggle with believing. I mean, if this is the first time you've heard the gospel, that people would just be, oh yeah, I'll take it. No, if you're taking it, that means what you've believed up till now isn't true. What you believed about eternal life is false. So it's not just, yeah, I'll take it. You're going to have to probably struggle with some things that were traditions. You're going to have to struggle with some things that you were taught. Maybe even struggle with the fact that some of your relatives died in a religion that wasn't the Bible. That's the point. That's the search. What's the cost? There's a cost to it. There's something. It's not again that salvation is by works, but you don't get salvation by accident. There is some struggle to it. There's some searching. There's some searching. Paul describes what the search looks like. You know what it looked like with the wise men, which leads us to the cost of it. I mean, you go back and enter into these wise men's lives as much as you can. And really, the reality is, whatever you're looking for has a cost. It just may not be worth the cost when you find it. Everything has a price on it, but it just may not be, when you find that thing, it just may not be worth the price you paid for it. It may not be worth the price you made your family pay for it. But these wise men, what was the cost in their search? What did it? What was the obstacles? What did they have to overcome? Well, I imagine if you're coming from another continent, a far away place, another country for sure, then there's unknown travels ahead. You don't know what you're going to encounter. I mean, we got a pretty good sort of, I guess, a way of vacationing as Americans. You know, it's very convenient. We can just load up, go somewhere. I mean, if you can afford to do all this, because it's very expensive to do things like this. But you load up, you go to a hotel, or you take your RV, you go somewhere, you park it, you get in a hotel, and, you know, order food, things like that. Well, if you're the wise men, you're going to have to pack food. You're going to have to make preparation. Where are we stopping? Where? How far are we going to go? How are animals are going to have to be fed along the way? There's a lot of things to think about. So when these men decided, we're going to go find the King of the Jews, the Messiah, we're going to go find him, that's a big decision, and there's a lot of things to consider in that search. But the answer, the Lord Jesus Christ, was more significant, was more valuable to them than the travel cost. He was more valuable to them than the personal cost. I don't know what these men, what their jobs were, what they did for a living, but obviously they're going to have to take it on the road. I mean, whatever they were doing back home, try to ask your boss for about 6 months off, you know, hey, we're just going to take 6 months off and we're going to go find Jesus. These men had to consider those things. Their worship of Jesus Christ, it was greater than the time. I mean, they don't even know how much time this is going to take. There's a lot of unknowns in this, that these men, these wise men, they said, you know what? When we find Jesus Christ, he is more valuable than the time it's going to take, than the cost it's going to have. He's more valuable than all of these unknowns that we have along this journey. When we find Jesus Christ, it will be worth it. It was greater than the distance they'd have to travel. And I'm reminded of that verse. It's over in Nehemiah. You don't have to go there, but where he talks about the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, the joy of the Lord is their strength. They're optimistic. They're looking for the Lord, and that's the joy, and that's the thing that keeps them going. That's the thing that boosts the morale of the wise men. When they face obstacles, when they face costs, when they face unknown time delay. I mean, just all of these things. It's a costly search. It's a costly search. Not only was the journey costly, but their offerings were costly. Remember what they present to Jesus Christ? Which means they carried all this stuff with them all the way. They had gold. They had frankincense. They had myrrh. Those are valuable essential oils, you know? And gold. It's valuable. They offered him things that were valuable, that meant something to him. Really, that meant something to anybody. So they brought costly goods. Not only was the search costly, but their offerings were costly. Like David said, I'm not going to offer God anything that didn't cost me something. I'm not going to offer God something that doesn't mean anything to me. If it doesn't mean anything to me, it's not an offering. It's trash. And I'm not going to offer God trash. If it means something to me, it's an offering. It means it has value to me, and I'm going to give it to you because it has value to me and it'll have value to you. So the journey was costly. The offerings were costly. And just a note, just an interesting note. Right after these men give the gifts and leave Bethlehem, go back to their own country, they give the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. I can't help but think that because remember Joseph and Mary they go to Egypt. They got to leave because Herod's after Jesus. So they got to leave. And so they immediately, as soon as the wise men are gone, looks like they go down to Egypt. And I can't help but think some of the provisions and some of the gifts that the wise men brought helped Mary and Joseph along the way. I mean, that's a costly journey. That's especially just to pack up your family and go with a new baby here. Now, I mean, it's he's a little bit older than that, but with a child in tow, just to pack up and go, it's surely it was part of the Lord's provision. Surely it all works out. The Lord works the whole thing out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Lord honors that search. He really honored that search. You think about all the ways God honored these men's search. He gave them the star, scriptures. He made provision. He protected them. He protected them from Herod. I mean, there are several ways you know that God honored these men's their search for Jesus Christ. Which brings me to this last point here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's a specific search. It's specific. It's also costly. There's obstacles along the way. There's things that you're going to have to pay a price for along the way. Sometimes it's in the way of, like we said, family tradition. Sometimes it's in the way of just opinions about life and God and things like that that you have to overcome just to trust Jesus Christ. But it's a search that God honors. Like I said, these wise men had so many provisions along the way that it proves God was in the search. He was all over that. He was helping them along the way, giving them direction. But everything about their search says God is in this endeavor. He's in this. And the Lord is honoring this diligent search. I'm going to show you something. I thought it was interesting. But to understand it's a search that God honors, look over in Proverbs chapter 25. This is a verse I used to have trouble connecting with why it's described this way. A search. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's a search that God honors. It's a search that has a cost. It's a very specific search. Proverbs chapter 25. Notice this wording. Verse 2. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. Proverbs 25, 2. But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The honor of kings, you might say, is described as nobility. Noble. The honor of kings. Keep that in mind. I'll ask y'all. You remember there's a place in the New Testament where it's in Acts 17, and he says the Bereans were more something than these other Jewish folks because they searched out the scriptures every day to see whether these things are true. They made a search. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, ties that diligent search, and he describes them. Anybody remember how he describes them? They're more noble. Nobility. Proverbs, glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. That's diligence. That's a diligent search. That's someone who doesn't get sidetracked or preoccupied. They have something they're looking for, and they make it a point, no matter the cost, they're going to figure this thing out. They're going to find what they're looking for. And Proverbs says, you know, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it's the honor of kings to basically dig that thing out. And then you get to Acts and the Bereans, and you got these people who are digging out of the scriptures every day to figure out, is this true? Is this right? Is what I'm being told facts? Is this real? And the Lord said, these people, these Bereans, they were more, he didn't say diligent, he said they were more noble. That's the honor of kings. That's exactly what you read in Proverbs. It's the honor of kings to search out a matter. The honor of kings, I know I'm putting several things together, but I hope it's making sense. The honor of kings is nobility. The Bereans are described as a noble bunch of people. These people have what it takes to be a king. Why? They're diligent in their search. They count the cost. They make what they're looking for. It's very important to them. Nobility. It's a search that God honors. And anybody remember? I don't know. I mean, it's a simple thing about discovery and searching things out. The world honors people who search things out. Anybody remember? Remember Jacques Cousteau? Remember him? Go, you know, search around in the water, and he finds animals, and he talks about animals, and he's heralded, and he's uplifted, and you know, this is the guy that he searches the oceans and things like that. You know what was valuable in his life was the discovery. The world understands that principle. If someone's willing to put time and effort into something and search a matter out, that has value to it. The guy that, I mean, scientific discoveries, you got people whose names are attached to things because they discovered something. Well, they put time and energy and effort into it. And then they get honored for the search that they made. I mean, it's Newton and gravity and all that kind of stuff. You know, they people get their names attached to these things that they discover. The world understands it. The world understands it. And it's a principle in the Bible. And the Lord says, I'm in this search. If you're looking for eternal life, if you're looking for righteousness, I'm in that search. I will help you along the way. I will honor that diligent search. It's valuable. It's valuable. It's a valuable search. He says, in Matthew, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So what you find is in the search, there's provision. And God shows you, look, you don't have to seek out the provision. I'll make the provision if you'll make the search. If you'll do the homework, I'll make the provision. I'll take care of you. If you'll be noble like the Bereans, it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. If you'll be noble, if you'll do the legwork, you'll face the obstacles, you'll count the cost, I'll make the provision. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Amos says it over and over. He says it in one whole chapter. It's just like, seek ye the Lord, seek ye the Lord, seek ye the Lord, seek ye the Lord, seek ye the Lord. And Isaiah makes it a very, very clear warning. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Implying that's not always going to be the case. And the search can only be made in a certain time frame. And by you, it can only be made in your lifetime. So you have to use your lifetime, use your time, use your energy to search out these matters. And then you sometimes discover, you know what, I've been holding on to fool's gold, or I've been thinking this thing was valuable, or I've been participating in this opinion and this folklore and this tradition and this mythology. And now I'm confronted with the truth. So what do I do with the truth? Because if I abandon my mythology and my folklore and my family traditions, that means a lot of people in my family may not know this. And that's a tough pill to swallow sometimes. But the Lord says, look, I'm in that. If you'll make my things important, I will make provision, I will take care of you, and I will honor that search. You don't need to make the provisions the search. You make Jesus Christ, eternal life, righteousness, spiritual matters. You make that the search, and I'll take care of the provisions. And all of that said, the Lord says that right there, if you're willing to do that, that's a kingly matter. That's a matter of royalty. That's how kings act. That's what they do. They search things. They try to figure out judgments. They try to understand situations. They try to discern what's right and what's wrong. What you're participating in, it's a kingly matter. Now we talk about, you know, the crowns and the things you win at judgment seat of Christ and all that kind of stuff. I haven't heard one about this. But this is what he says. This is nobility. This is the way kings act. You want to be king-like? You want to be royalty-like? A diligent search. Paul said, look, you're not going to find eternal life without it, really. It's not going to hit you in the head. It's not going to fall out of the sky. It's going to take devotion, dedication. It's going to take accepting that there are some obstacles in the way. It's going to take, that's why I remember... I don't know. There's several stories, but you've probably seen folks too. I mean, they hear the gospel. Maybe you're like this. You heard the gospel, and you struggled with it, but you stuck to it. It's like, you know what? I need to figure out if this is right. I need to understand if this is true or not. I need to make a diligent search of this, and I need to understand if this is true. I can't just discount it. Discounting thing, that's not royalty. That's not honorable. That's just lazy. That's what bums do. But I heard the gospel. Now I've got to rethink. Now I've got to compare. Now I've got to weigh these challenges. I got to count the cost. I don't know how much time this is going to take, but you know, when people hear the gospel and then maybe months later, maybe a year later, finally say, you know what? I believe this. I have done a search now. I have devoted myself to figure out whether this is true or not. That's like the Bereans. That's what Proverbs says. This is the way nobility, this is the way royalty acts. It's the way they act. Royalty doesn't get distracted. Royalty is focused. They count the cost. They make a search. They find the king. Maybe that's why they call them we three kings. I don't know. They weren't kings per se. They were just wise men. And the Lord says, these men here, he describes them. He describes them. These men are wise men. This is what wisdom looks like. Matthew kind of goading Israel. Hey, Israel, my nation, Israel, this is what wisdom looks like. Heathen men, Gentile men, willing to come from afar to search out a matter, to find a king, to find the king. Whereas he is born king of the Jews. Seek ye first, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I don't know where you are in this search. I don't know, maybe you've found what you're looking for. Maybe you've found Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not interested. I don't know. Maybe you're not looking for Jesus Christ. You're whatever you're looking for in life. I'll say what you're looking for, you'll find it. It just may not be worth it when you find it. Just may not be worth it. Jesus Christ is worth it. When you find Jesus Christ, he's worth it. It's a search that has a cost. It's a search that's specific. These men, they know what they're looking for. They're just looking for him. Where is he that's born king of the Jews? And it's a search that God honors. It's a search that God honors. You know, anything that's valuable, just a general principle, anything that's valuable, you're probably not going to find it laying around on the street. You're going to probably have to do some digging. There's going to be a cost to it. There's going to be time involved, energy involved, probably some rethinking of how you're going about your business involved. Anything that's valuable. I mean, if you're going to find, as a general principle, you know, you're going to find gold, it's going to take money, equipment, mining, people, operators, and all that's because what's valuable is usually buried. It's usually not at the surface, and I can't help but think that's one way God just tries the hearts of people. If you're not willing to put the search out, not willing to perform the search, just not that interested. Just not that interested. But if you are, the Lord says, look, I will make with these wise men. I mean, how many provisions did God make for these men? He took care of them. He gave them light. He gave them direction. He gave them protection. All through that. All that way saying, I'm in this. I will honor this. This is a search I will honor. Seek ye first, the Bible says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. There's a lot you can learn. You and I can learn from the wise men. God called them wise. They were like nobility. searching out a matter diligently, like the Bereans, searching from the scriptures, diligently searching. It's a search that God honors. It's a search that God honors. So I'd encourage you. I don't know where you are on the search. It kind of starts with your heart. Don't get discouraged. Lord honors this. Maybe you're here, you're looking, you're searching, you're I don't know. You don't know the Lord yet, but you're looking for him. I'd love to answer some questions if you had any. Show you from the Bible some things. But just know it's a search that God honors. There's lots of distractions, lots of things to keep you occupied. Lots of probably times these wise men could have said, you know what, we've traveled far enough. We need to go home. We need to go home. But they've been commemorated by God because of what they did. Because of their not the discovery, but the willingness to approach and to find out where is he that's born King of the Jews? Where is he? Let's find him. Let's find him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Some things about searches that God honors. Searches that God honors. Let's do this. Sam, why don't you go to the piano and play a little bit. Remember, 2 o'clock we got nursing home, but we'll wrap it up here. Just think about it. Think about these things. Think about these wise men. It's a good time to think about the wise men. You'll see them in all the nativity scenes and all that kind of thing. But as Sam plays, we can bow our heads, close our eyes. We'll just reflect on some of the things we've seen here about the wise men. What made them wise? What made them honorable? Why God could bless what they were doing? There's something to that. Specific search. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Costly search. There'll be some price to pay. Buy the truth and sell it not. And it's a search that God honors.